The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. It's Alex Dunn and Kevin O'Malley with you on this edition. Looking forward to Friday's racing. It's a fantastic Friday as well. Coming up, Mr. O'Malley, how are you?
I'm not too bad at all. I'm here for my second day now, but yeah, there's some decent racing today over the jumps, but Friday, really, some great stuff at Cheltenham.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday, of course, we've got action at Cheltenham, Doncaster and Newbury.
Newbury tomorrow, yeah. Yeah, so some good competitive action to get into, some really big, fiendishly difficult handicaps.
Yeah.
Some really nice novice races, certainly at Cheltenham. Some stars of the future, potentially, out there. So lots to look forward to, Alex.
Absolutely. And make sure you tune into all of the action on William Hill Racing Radio on Friday and Saturday. As we just said, tomorrow, Cheltenham, Doncaster, Newbury, and also on the evening from Wolverhampton and Dundalk. So plenty to get your teeth stuck into. We mentioned it on air yesterday, but for anyone who wasn't listening, I mean, this stage of the season is, I think, incredibly difficult to bet in because you've got some horses, flat horses, who are quite blatantly just sick of the game by now. They just need a little bit of a holiday. Mm. And you've got some jumps horses who are relishing being back, but at the same time might just need a few runs to get back to full fitness.
Yeah, I mean, or on the flat, you've got saturated form lines in the handicaps. So that makes it very difficult, along with, you know, prevailing ground conditions and everything else. So that makes that hard. And then even in the flat maidens that I tend to specialise in the early parts of the season, you know, you've got newcomers coming out at this stage of the year, you're not sure what they're going to be capable of or why they're turning out so late, you know.
Yeah.
So that you start to question yourself a lot more in that regard when it comes to the flat at this time of the year. And as you say, the jumps, it's difficult to get a handle on fitness and well-being first time out. So it is a challenging time of the year, but at the same time, it's an exciting one. And if you're patient and you look for the right opportunities, which I've been failing at recently, September was a bad month. October's been a little bit better. You can find some decent bets. Hopefully we'll get one or two for tomorrow. We'll see.
Just looking, a brief scan of the Cheltenham card tomorrow. The second race, the Novices Chase, is an absolute humdinger, isn't it?
It is.
So I'll move with the times, North Hill, Harvey, Bally Hill, to name but a few. That you would not be surprised at all if that's chucking out some big race winners later on in the year.
You'd imagine it would be. Even, you know, North Hill Harvey is a very hardy customer, and if he takes the fences, he'll be dangerous. Move with the times is a gorgeous chestnut. He could really develop into a nice chaser. Score Royal, you know, he's never going to make it as a grade one chaser, I don't think, but we know how talented he is, and he's got the benefit of a run. So
yeah,
you know, but he does have to carry that £5 penalty. So that was enough for me to just have it as a watching brief. Really,
oh yeah,
really, that race, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing with this whole Cheltenham meeting. I think the temptation is to go, Cheltenham's back, quick. But I think it's probably more prudent just to go, right, okay, Cheltenham's back, that's brilliant.
Yeah,
I will enjoy watching it for now. I will have a notebook with me.
Well, even at the festival itself, you know, you've got 27 races and, you know, your majority of everyday punters, they feel it's their duty to have a bet in every race.
Yeah.
Just because it's Cheltenham.
Yeah.
But obviously it's extremely difficult to make money at Cheltenham at the best of times.
Mm. But no, got some competitive action at Cheltenham, competitive at Doncaster, and really competitive as well at Newbury.
Yeah.
We've asked you for a nap and a next best on Friday, Kev, and I know that there's a lot of racing to choose from, but your next best comes in Doncaster's 3.35.
Yeah.
You couldn't have picked a much more difficult one. It's a handicap over six furlongs, and there's 22 of them set to go to post.
Do you know, it's not, you know, not usually the type of race I like to get stuck into, but I do have, you know, a few horses that I like to keep an eye on in these races. I mean, this is going to be obviously a really difficult race to win. you've got Outback Traveller there, is owned by Tom Morley, who I'm working with today. He seems to think that it's got a good chance tomorrow. He'll be close to the top of the market for sure, despite going off the boil since winning the Wokingham. He showed more glimpse of promise last time out at York.
He showed something.
Yeah.
And I haven't done that for a while.
If he can build on that, he's certainly handicapped to win. The addition of Jamie Spencer is no bad thing, so that one has to be respected. Another one, of course, for Hugo Palmer, whose yard is flying, is Hyperfocus. You know, he's won his last two starts since being gelded. He arrives here £8 higher, but you know, he's in very dangerous form, and you have to respect that, despite the fact that there's so many hardy handicappers here. But the one that I fancy, and I think he'll be double-figure odds, I'm hoping he will be, is Naggers.
Okay.
Trained by Paul Midgley. He went into my GG Alert tracker after being very unlucky here at Donny back in April. I backed him heavily next time out when he won at Thirsk. He was a very short price favourite in a big handicap, but I just thought he'd win. And he went ahead and won. He's disappointed since. I did back him at Epsom when he was second there. But tomorrow, he's going to have his conditions absolutely perfect for him. And he's back at Donny over 6 furlongs. There's going to be a bit of cut in the ground, which is just perfect for him as well. A really big field is going to suit him. And even though he's disappointed on his last two starts, those last two starts were pretty poor. Mm. But he really does have conditions here to suit, you know, and it just seems like the type of race that Paul Midgley will have tried to get him to peak for, you know, kind of one last hurrah before the end of the season, so to speak. He's certainly a capable handicapper, and I can see him staying on really strongly in the closing stages if he's in the mood.
Okay. You certainly couldn't argue that he's especially well handicapped, but at the same time, it seems like he's been around for ages. He's only had 20 runs. I know that's not unexposed to such, but compared to some in this race.
Yeah, I mean, he runs tomorrow off the same mark that he was second off on Derby Day at Epsom. So if you read it through that, you know, he was competitive that day and he has conditions perfect tomorrow. So I'm hoping that he can bounce back and show something like his best. You do need to kind of, it's a little bit of a leap of faith to forgive him those last two runs because he ran well below his handicap mark there. But You know what it's like with these sprinters. They bounce in and out of form, and you know if ever Naggers had his conditions, if you could write the conditions for Naggers perfectly, it would be what he has tomorrow here with the big field, the cut in the ground, Doncaster, 6 furlongs. It's all perfect for him. So I'm hoping that he'll put in a really good effort.
And the main danger, would you say, Hyperfocus?
Yeah.
You
have to respect
all of the field could be dangerous.
Oh, of course, yeah. You know, even Mick Shannon's mobster there, he'll be an outsider, but he loves a good dig in the ground, and there's plenty of rain around. So, you know, there's so many good old campaigners there. You wouldn't put it past any of them bouncing back to form. But Hyperfocus and Outback Traveller, I think, would be the main threats. Okay. Certainly Hyperfocus, in terms of his recent form, he looks very dangerous.
But is Naggers the next best selection on Friday for Kev?
He is.
The Cheltenham 3:45, then, is the race in which the Knapp comes up, and it's a very different race to the one that we've just spoken about. You couldn't get to much more different races. 5 runners here for a novice's chase over 3 miles. You couldn't rule any of them out in this. They're not world beaters, but at the same time, they're very smart animals, and there's some potential for some of these novice chasers to go on and have an absolutely belting season. But I think all of the horses in this race, if they are going to go on and have a successful season, they will be earmarking this as a race that they would be very keen to win.
They'd like to go close in this to find some positives from it to build on for the season. Black Corton, trained by Paul Nicholls, he's a chaser I really like. He's been mopping up against lesser horses, I would say, but he's beat one or two decent sorts of late. He gets on really well with Briony Frost, I should say. He's penalised here against a couple of very decent horses, and I think that might just leave him vulnerable. He's had a very busy time of it of late. He is a strapping chaser, and he's been taking his races really well. I respect what he's done, but there will come a time when he's going to become vulnerable, and maybe at Cheltenham in a hot novice chase could be the time for that. It would be no surprise to me if beat that bounce back to form here. We all know how promising a horse he's been in the past, but that promise hasn't manifested into backable form for a race like this, and he wouldn't be for me, for all I do respect the horse. So, I think Fagan really does have an excellent opportunity here for Gordon Elliott and Davy Russell. He clocked a very fast time at Perth last time out. He was second to Ballyandy that day, giving him £6. A lot of people crab Ballyandy. A lot of people think that he's going to be disappointing this season. He does. He's not the scopiest or flashiest of horses, but I really do rate Ballyandy as a proper yardstick. So, you know, there was no negatives there in going down in defeat, giving that horse £6. He's back over 3 miles here. I think he's just going to go very close to winning this. As we know, he was second behind, you know what I mean, Harry, in the Albert Bartlett back in 2016. So he has grade one form at the track as well. And all the pieces look to be in place for a really big run.
And still really, really unexposed is the only word you could use for it, really. Just could be anything, this.
Yeah, he could be. He's young, he's progressive, and he's got a little bit of quality about him. He hasn't been flashy so far, you know, but he jumps well. And, you know, Gordon Elliott wouldn't be bringing him over here for the picnic.
No, that is true. Be interesting to see how Fagan gets on in the 3:45. That is the nap for Kevin on Friday. Best luck, listeners, with all of your bets on Friday. It's a feast of racing. Whatever it is that you fancy, very best of luck. And the same to you, Kev. And make sure, listeners, you join us on William Hill Racing Radio on Friday afternoon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.